Before I get into what I wanted to talk about today, though, I heard about these two FSU football players that went hunting up in the woods just north of Tallahassee there up in the forest, and they parked their truck and they went way deep in the woods, and the one guy shot a huge buck. They were so excited, and they said, well, how are we going to get this back to the truck, man? We're about 5 miles from the truck. So, well, we're going to have to drag it. So one grabbed each of the back legs and they started dragging it. But it was real thick woods, and about every 5 feet or so, the antlers would get stuck on a root or a palm branch in the palmettos. And you had to keep stopping and unhooking it and pull it, and it'd get hooked, and it'd get hooked, and it hooked. All day, they're dragging this huge buck. And they only made about halfway, a deer, about halfway to the truck when a game warden comes by and says, what you guys doing? They told him, you know, and said, well, we're not making much progress. He said, well, if you grab it by the antlers, it will be a lot easier to pull it that way because it'll just go right through the... They say, well, we didn't think about that. So that's what they do. They grab it by the antlers and they start pulling it. Sure enough, it's real easy. It doesn't get stuck anymore. But about 2 hours later, one of them looks at the other one and he says, buddy, he says, I know it's a lot easier to pull it like this. He was right. He said, but I've been thinking, the further we pull this, the further we get away from the truck. You have to think about that one for a while. That's an FSU. Today's our 15-year anniversary, and I wanted to show you some slides of the past. If we could switch to the laptop, I got a few slides to bring back some memories for you. This is our first service at the Holiday Inn, which doesn't even exist. We outlived the Holiday Inn, praise God. On Tower Road and Newbury Road, and this was a small room upstairs, and there's Rebecca and Linda, and that's the podium, and see that big screen there? We used to use something, some of you young people don't even know what this is, overheads, transparencies. Anybody remember, with those overhead projectors? Yeah, that was high tech back when I was a kid in school, man. They put that stuff, and we project that up there. And here's a picture of our sound system. You see it right there? That's our band right there. And I was the band conductor because I had the remote control that changed the CDs. You went from track 1 to track 7. And it was really fun because that darn machine, it would always, inevitably, every Sunday, remember this? It would skip right in the middle of a song. Everybody's in the middle of, thank you, Lord, 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 Lord. Everybody's looking at me. I can't do nothing. I'm pushing that button. So that was our music group right there. And there's Bill and Linda and Christina at one of the early meetings. That's me. And you see our table, the communion table behind there. And that's our early group right there. There's Brenda on the right. That's Brenda and Barbara and Christina. That's my Christina right there. That's when we moved to the bigger room upstairs. We moved from the small room upstairs to the big room upstairs to the big room downstairs. That's the second room that we were in. And I don't know what that is. I just threw that in there because I like that picture. That's a women's meeting at a tea house in downtown Gainesville. I don't know what she's... That's some kind of demonstration there. That's the Gator Chop. The Gators are winning. This is Pastor Courtney being ordained October 2000 in the Holiday Inn. This is a men's rootin' tootin' fire breathing carcass eating camp out in my backfield, and that's the fire. If you want to know what a fire, that's what it looks like after it burns down a little bit. And that's Robert. I just want you to see how many marshmallows he's got on that stick. Can you count? Anybody count those marshmallows? That's a marshmallow eating man right there, boy, I tell you. I don't know what I'm eating, but it doesn't look like it's settling too well. It looks like, yikes, what did I just bite into? That's the next morning sitting around. Look, even after it's burned all night, look how big those logs are on that fire. That's a real fire. I just want to show you that. This is the Holiday Inn, and this is just a bunch of us after a meeting. But what I want you to notice about this, do you see Robert Crames in that picture? No, because if you look right on the other side of the hall, while we're taking this picture, there's Robert, man. He's out like a light. And the pool is behind him, and then we went into the pool right here. And there's Kevin being baptized. And you might wonder, why is there tables and chairs in the pool? Because a hurricane was coming, and the people in the hotel took all the pool furniture and threw it into the pool. So he got baptized amidst the pool furniture there. That's him getting water baptized, Kevin Crames. And there's the elders. That's when we moved into Kanapaha Middle School. And there's the elders there at Kanapaha Middle School. That's Kanapaha Middle School cafeteria. How many missed the cafeteria? Not too many. How many missed the fire alarm going off in the middle? The kids in the neighborhood found out it was really fun in the middle of service to go pull the fire alarm, and then they run home, and that was had firemen come running in. That was exciting. This is a men's meeting. Pastor Courtney, I don't know. I just like that picture of the guy right there. That's a men's meeting. Me and Pastor Carl, I love that picture of Pastor Carl with those big glasses. That was, and there's Wesley at a youth group meeting. This is a beach reach. We did a few beach reaches. Hey, you see this guy right here? He is from China. He got saved at the beach reach. That was back in 2002. And this us praying at the beach. And this guy right here was a student from Mexico. He got saved at the beach reach. And none of those hot dogs got saved. They all were gone. And the sausages. There's Robert Crames. You believe that? Look at that hair. Woo, that's cool. Rob getting baptized in the Crames' pool, wearing his police service revolver. He got baptized with him. There he is, getting baptized. And, oh, I got a shot of three Tennessee fans getting saved. There they are right there. Yeah, buddy. That was right after a football game. Yeah. That's us moving out of the Kanapaha Middle School. That's the truck pulling it all out into this building. That is the room you are in right now. That door on the right, that's that door right there. Actually, this is after we did a lot of the work because the bathrooms used to stick out here. That entrance used to come out here. And there's the room as we're working on it and making some. That's looking backwards to where the soundboard is right there now. We had to build all that. And Pastor Courtney was in charge of the paint. He loved to guard the paint. That's the lobby. We laid the tile and painted that. These walls were not here. We put all these in and made the children's rooms. That's Michael Crames walking across there. Bill Olander working on the door. Rebecca plastering Pastor Mike's office. Pastor Courtney doling out the paint. He wouldn't give you too much paint because he didn't want you to waste it. He was real... watching over that paint. Christina doing some painting. Jerry working hard. And Linda. Linda's actually doing her nails right here. She's trying to... all these paint cans are for her to mix the paint for her nails. She's trying to figure out what to put on there. Trying to get the best color. Oh. That's just too cool. I mean, people shouldn't be that cool looking, should they? Diane up on the ladder there. Kaivon, you can tell he's not really working. Look at the brush he's got in his hand. That ain't no paintbrush. No. Get out. Jordan working. There's Jenny painting those murals on the wall there. See, she hasn't even done this one yet, but she started on that one. She painted those in there. Wesley, we're getting finished. You see, getting all the work done. Getting ready to lay the carpet in there. Jamie and Wesley and... wrapping things up in there. And that's where we're heading. That's our church land, if you're not familiar. This is 10 acres right across. Florida Farm Bureau is right across the street. And that's what the layout looks like. The building's going to be right there. And this future expansion. And that's water retention. And that's what our sanctuary is going to look like. And that's what the outside of the building will look like. So that's our little slideshow for today. You know, I remember before we moved in here, Rebecca was running a weekend flea market in this building and actually met Tracy Concannon for the first time. Right? Oh, they're out of town this weekend. Right against this wall, she had like three tables set up. You can't believe how many little things she had. She used to like use coupons and then she'd sell them. She'd get all this stuff, you know, just whatever, soap and shampoo. And she was back here. And I had a table right back where Michael's sitting with some knives. I was selling knives, and we met Tracy right there, and they weren't going to church and really weren't walking with God, and met them when we were in Kanapaha, and they started coming, and Rob got baptized. It's been a really great journey. I want to honor a few people. Can't honor as many people that I would like to today, but I'd like to honor Bill and Linda Olander. They've been with us from the very beginning, in fact, before the beginning. And, you know, I just want you to know, Bill is such a good friend. He's such a stable person. He's somebody I know I can always call him and talk to him and vent, and he's just going to think about it and give me some, you know, wise counsel and wise advice. They've been with us from the very beginning. Bill and Linda, they're elders in our church, and I don't know what we'd do without them. They've been such a foundation and stable part of our church. They're such a great examples of faith and living a Christian life and running a business with Christian principles. And I'd like to honor Courtney and Barbara, even though Courtney's watching from heaven right now because he went up there. He got a little ahead of us, and he's up there in heaven for 2 years. And the Bible says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know what they do in heaven, but I like to think Courtney's in spirit here with us, maybe watching. But they were here at the very beginning. And in fact, the six of us were part of a team that prayed about, thought about starting a church in Gainesville. In fact, Courtney, he used to call me every week and say, you need to start a church in Gainesville. For 2 years, he did that all the time. He had the vision, and at the time, I was doing traveling ministry and on Indian reservations and other churches and thinking about that. But these people, the six of us, were part of the group of people that I asked to pray about it in early 1999 when I did feel like the Lord was leading us to start a church. I wanted to be sure it was God, and I took about 30 days pray and fast and seek the Lord, and these are some of the people that I asked to pray about that, along with Pastor Tim Gilligan and Lee Grady and my pastor from L.A., David Houston. You know, just wanted to be sure we were hearing from God, you know, and we just took some time and prayed. I remember when I asked Courtney, you know, to pray about it, he's like, well, I already prayed about it. I already know what you're supposed to do. Yeah, I knew that 2 years ago. Yeah, don't call me back. Just do it, you know. And I want to honor Carl and Brenda. They came in when we were at the Holiday Inn. I think we were 2 or 3 weeks into starting the church, and they came in. And I remember, you know, the second week, you know, we had that little table that you saw on the side where when we set up at the Holiday Inn, I had everything in the back of my little Ford Explorer. I mean, everything, that screen, the sound system, you know, our massive sound system, and communion, and a few books and tapes and stuff, and cloths and signs that went out front, put everything in the back of my little Ford Explorer, and Rebecca would get the music group going, and I would kind of set everything up. And the second week, I remember Brenda coming up and going, would you like me to take care of the table for you from now on? I said, you bet. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, the second week, she just jumped in, and Carl and Brenda have just been such a support and such an encouragement. I've never seen anybody as committed, devoted to God as Carl and Brendan. Carl's heart for the lost, ever since I've known him, he just always had a heartbeat for the lost. He can't hardly ever talk to somebody without asking God if I should share the gospel with him and being obedient to do that. He's always been a man of prayer. Brenda's one of the most amazing people on the planet. I mean that. I don't know how she does so many things. She's just amazing. I want to honor Kyvon and Jenny. You know, Kyvon started coming to church in 2003 when he was a skinny college student. And I mean skinny. He was like scary skinny. That guy was so skinny. But he came in again just, you know, with both feet. I want to help. What can I do? You know, just helping with stuff. They've been such a blessing. He's such a loyal person. He and Jenny, he found a real gift in Jenny. And they are such a tremendous team. They have such a heart for the youth. I tell you, they love the youth of our church, and the youth love them. We're so blessed to have Kyvon and Jenny as part of the team in this church. And I want to honor Mike and Lelaine. I don't know what I'd do without Mike and Lelaine. I can't tell you how much they contribute on a weekly basis to our church. And as we're learning a lot of things, and you know, in the last year, we've instituted a lot of new stuff. And it's like Mike and Lelaine, they're like ahead of me. They spend so much time just... They're so involved, so desiring to see this church grow. They're always going to the grow site and learning stuff and sharing stuff. And, well, here's how you do that, and printing stuff out. And they're just so in love with the bride of Christ and you all and wanting to see you all grow. And Pastor Mike is so faithful. He puts in so much time and effort. I mean, he's doing everything Valerie was doing, everything Pastor AJ was doing. Thank God he's got some helpers that are helping him. I thank for the A team. And he's also got Lelaine. And they just pour their hearts into you guys. They're true leaders. And Pastor Mike, he really truly has a pastor's heart. I've never seen such a pastor's heart as I see in Pastor Mike, just willing to just talk to people and mentor people. They're so awesome. And of course, couldn't have done it without my lovely wife, Rebecca, and all the time and the effort that she's put into it. You know, led the music group for so many years, and now she's passed that baton on and now is overseeing our dream team leaders and doing a great job with that, investing in our church. And what I'm saying is it's teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. And I could go on down through so many dream team leaders, but for the sake of time, we'll just stop with those people right there. Last week, we had a week of prayer and fasting. It was a great week. We had prayer meetings Sunday night. We had the deeper service, which our music group did an incredible job leading us in worship. People were ministered to. We had a prayer meeting Wednesday night, prayer meeting Saturday night. Prayer is very important. You know, Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. So I appreciate the people that prayed. As a church, we're guided by pastors and elders and overseers who are not in this church, outside this church. But really, Victory Church is you. You are Victory Church. The church is people. Church is not a sign, and it's not a name, and it's not a building. It's people that have been called by God for a purpose to glorify Him in a specific way. Your Victory Church, it's your anniversary. It's your 15-year anniversary. And here's if you're filling out the notes in your little note sheet there, the first one is you don't go to church. You are the church. That's a pretty important thing. I know you say, yeah, I'm going to church this morning. Okay, I understand that. But really, you don't go to church, you are. Wherever you go, you are Victory Church, because we are Victory Church. The word in the Greek means called out individuals, called out ones. It's people that have been called to a purpose. The church is people, people on a mission. And that's why we come together and strengthen each other and encourage one another. And we reach out to the lost and we do so many things because we are on a mission. The church has a mission given to us by God. I got a little screenshot capture that we've got here that someone posted on our Facebook page this week. A couple of months ago, we gave you all these little cards, opportunity to take these. We call them acts of kindness card. And it says something extra to show you that God loves you. And then on the back, it just simply says Victory Church. And we encourage you to use these, you know, as opportunities just to bless people. And so we got this thing on our webpage, Sierra King, and I kind of went to her site. She's a college student, just moved up here, just started at UF. And I don't know, from the looks of her site, she doesn't look like a person that goes to church. But she said this: someone from this church just paid it forward at the Wendy's on Archer Road. And I just want to say thank you to that person. And I really appreciate your kindness. God bless you. Somebody used one of these cards. I don't know who it was. Archer Road. You could see the date. It was July 10th. And obviously just said, I want to pay for the person behind me. And when they ask what happened, just give them this card. Just give them this card. And they read it, something extra to show you that God loves you. And that person obviously was touched enough to make a response on our webpage. That's what we are. We're a church. We're people on a mission to reach the lost. That's what the church is. It's God's way of reaching a lost and dying world. The church is God's people. The church is broken people. Let's be honest. Hurting people. The church is rich people and poor people. The church is young people and old people, but it's people. It's just people. Matthew 16:18. I love this little passage here where Jesus told something new to the world. He says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to build something, and I'm going to call it church. And you know what? The devil's going to try to destroy it, but the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I'm going to build my church. For 2,000 years, that's what Jesus has been doing, building something called the church. As imperfect as it is, as many failures as we've made, churches have come and churches have gone, but the church that Jesus is building is still alive and well on planet Earth. You know, the people have prophesied for years, the church is going to be gone. We're going to destroy the church. People have set out to destroy the church, but it, you know what? It's still here because Jesus said, no, it won't be destroyed. It's what he's doing on the earth. He's using a bunch of imperfect people to continue to further his ministry on the earth. I think it's awesome. And I also think, this is just my opinion, that when Jesus said, I'll build my church, Satan said to his demons, I'm going to destroy the church. I'm going to do my best to be sure people don't get involved in that thing that God is doing. I'm going to do my best to keep people out of church. I'm going to make sure they get offended. I'm going to make sure they get hurt. I'm going to have people write articles, negative, critical. They're a bunch of hypocrites. All they want is your money. They're this, they're religious, they're that. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep people from getting involved in what Jesus is doing. Because certainly he can find some flaws to highlight. He's had a good time, an easy time doing that. But still, Jesus is still building his church. It's still alive and well. And he doesn't have a plan B. Jesus said, I love the church with all of its flaws. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, talking about this relationship between Christ and the church, it refers to the church as his bride. Can you imagine that? You know, Jesus never married when he was on the earth because he has a bride. It's the church. It's us. It's the called out ones. It's the ones who answer the call and take their time and obey one of the commandments to make the Sabbath holy and to do something special and to be a part of the church, as imperfect as it is, to be a part of its success, not its failure. And it gives us this little glimpse right here. It says that he, talking about Jesus, might sanctify her, talking about the bride, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Be careful before you start throwing stones at someone's fiance, their betrothed, because you might tick off the groom. And Jesus says, I know she's got flaws, but I've cleansed her. I'm going to the cross to pay the price to cleanse her of her sins, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Is that what we see today? A church with no spot? No, it's got spots and wrinkles and problems. We can all identify them, but that's not how Jesus sees us. He sees his bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. And then he went on to say, I'm going to come back for her. In fact, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, it gives this glimpse in heaven of an event in heaven taking place in the future. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Oh, there's going to be a marriage in heaven? Yeah, well, check this out. You're going to be in it. Marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. That's us. We're going to be in that marriage ceremony. Where are we going, Victory Church, as a church? We could look back and funny pictures and great pictures and tell stories, but where are we going? Do we have a future? Yeah, we're not quitting. We're going on. Thank God we beat the odds. 50% of church plants end within a year. 90% end within 3 years. So we beat the 90% odds, and we're 15 years and going. Where are we going as a church? It's the next fill in the blank. Our goal is to glorify God. Just that simple. That's our goal, is to glorify God. Whatever that means to him, whatever he would like for us to do, that's our goal, to glorify God. And the other part of that, I know that part of our vision is this: glorifying God by helping people find and fulfill their God-given destiny. Everybody on this planet has a God-given destiny. Some of them, people are never aware of it. Some people never look into it. Some people never find it. Some people never fulfill it. But that's our goal, is to help you fulfill your God-given destiny. It's that simple. Not to be something or have a great name or be the biggest or best or whatever. No, it's to help you find and fulfill your destiny. You have a personal relationship with God. Every one of you in this room has a father in heaven. No matter what you've been through in this life, who likes you, doesn't like you, you know what? None of that really matters when you know you've got a Father in heaven who's on your side. That's awesome. That's pretty awesome. So our goal is to help you find and fulfill your God-given destiny. You have a destiny. We want to help you fulfill it. We want to help you overcome the past. We're all plagued with things from the past that haunt us, that hold us back. We want to get free from those things. And that's a big part of small groups, is helping you develop relationships and get free from some of the baggage from the past so you can go forward. We want you to be healed and become a healer. If you got hurts, we want to help you get healed of those hurts, but we don't want you to stop there and just get healed and then quit. We want you to then turn around and say, you know what Jesus did for me? I want to help you find the same thing in your life. We want you to be healed and be a healer. If you've been broken, we want you to get fixed and help other people get fixed. I look at it this way. It's an imperfect analogy, but I think we're all in God's hospital. Every one of us. And we're being helped and strengthened and healed and equipped. And we're all, you know, God's working on some of us. And we're all also serving in the hospital. Like we're like volunteers in the hospital too. Even though we go in there to get our help, we also, after we get our help, we go around and see who else needs help. That's the way one of the analogies I like to use. And we're all also serving in God's hospital somewhere. Next fill in the blank, church is a family. You know, the Bible's so clear. We've got brothers and sisters and fathers in the Lord and mothers in the Lord. Church is, it's a family, just like you're born into it. Children aren't just born in a cabbage patch and left out there to fend for themselves. They need someone to take care of them. And we grow up, and then we take care of others. We have our own children and become grandparents. And then the grandparents get old, and the children take care of the elderly. I mean, it's a cycle of life, and it's the same way in Christianity. Church. That's what church is. It's a family. We all benefit from the family, and we all give into the family. You teach your children, okay, you got some chores. Hey, you benefit. You know, we changed your diapers. You know, we listened to you crying and we fed you. And now you're big enough to take out the trash, you know. And now you can feed the dog. And it's a family. And that's what a family is. You know, we get help and then we help. We serve. We benefit from it and we give to the family. We all contribute to the success of the family. It doesn't just happen, you know, by itself. Church doesn't just happen by itself. It happens because we're all part of the family and we contribute. I like this idea here in 2 Timothy. We'll start in verse 1, but it's called the 2-2-2 principle because the main verse is 2 Timothy 2:2. But in verse 1 kind of leads into it. Look at this, and it says, you therefore, it's Paul, the great apostle Paul, writing to his child in the faith, Timothy. He's a younger man, and he's giving him some instructions. And he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things which you heard from me, I just want you to think about this in your own life. The things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The 2-2-2 principle. The things I taught you, you teach others. That's what church is all about. You know, the things that I've learned, I share to you. You take that and share with somebody else. Start a small group. Reach out to your community. Reach out around you. Help somebody next to you. Help somebody in your family. Keep learning, keep growing, but help too. Help people around you. Timothy wasn't perfect and he was learning, but he was to teach what he learned to others. See, sometimes we think, yeah, well, when I arrive, I'll help, I'll teach, I'll be used. No, no, no. You never arrive. If you go further, go back to 1 Timothy, look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see some of the struggles that Timothy had in verse 12. He said, let no one look down on your youthfulness. Paul in 1 Timothy, he's trying to build him up and trying to get him going on. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Don't neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you'll ensure salvation both for you yourself and for those who hear you. He wasn't perfect. He was learning. He was working on stuff, but he told them the things I taught to you, you'd turn around and find somebody, a faithful man, that can teach others also. Grow and help others grow. Receive and give. You know the big difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea? They're not too far from each other. They're in Israel. The Sea of Galilee, you remember Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee? Not too far away is the Dead Sea. Well, the Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee and then out of Galilee and into the Dead Sea. But interestingly, it never flows out of the Dead Sea, and that's why it's the Dead Sea. Dead. It's dead. If you go to the Sea of Galilee, it's today, it's teeming with fish and life, and it's clear, it's drinkable, it's beautiful. Why? Because something flows into it and something flows out of it. On the other hand, the Dead Sea, even though it's receiving the same water, it's putrid. It's dead. You don't drink its water. There's no life there. There's no life. Same water. Why is it dead? Nothing goes out. It only comes in. It doesn't go out. We got to look at our lives and see, where is the flow? Is it coming in? Where's it going out? As a church, we have two simultaneous functions, and they're in your notes. Number one is to seek and to save the lost. That's our first, foremost, primary function. And you know what? What is the church? It's us, people, individuals. So we have to say, as an individual, my first primary function is to seek and to save the lost. Whatever else I'm, if I'm running a clothing store, or if I'm a doctor, or a lawyer, or a banker, or a truck driver, I'm looking at Jesus wants to use me to seek and to save the lost. And it can be by making coffee in the morning. It can be by being in the parking lot. It can be by contributing financially to a church that's its major function, our first priority, to seek and to save the lost. Let's never lose sight of that. And our second function is to nurture the family. Well, we don't want to just bring people into a dead place. We want to keep nurturing and growing. And the way that you grow is to turn around and nurture others. We want to nurture the family. That's our function. That's our desire. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to keep doing. We want to glorify God by seeking and saving the lost and nurturing the family. If you're lost, we're seeking you. We're going to pursue you with the same love which Jesus pursued us. If you're saved, we want to help you grow. We don't want you to stay where you're at. You're not supposed to stay where you're at. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to increase. We want you to reach your full potential. We don't want you to die with potential. We want you to die with no potential because you reached it. You did everything you were supposed to do. The best way to grow is to serve others. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, 25. Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It's not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great, and it's okay to wish to become great, just in Jesus' eyes. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. That just totally turned everything on its heels as far as the concept of what greatness meant. And whoever wishes to be first shall be your slave. Just as Jesus said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the example. Just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Next fill in the blank. True happiness in life comes from serving God by serving others. Really? True happiness in life. That's why some people, that they don't even know God, but they create these organizations to help other people. They find that peace and contentment and happiness comes in serving other people. That's who we are at Victory Church, servants of Christ. I don't think there's any better title that you can have, servant of the Lord, no matter what other kind of roles and responsibilities you have. The bottom line is a servant. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, givers, whatever. We're just servants. That's the greatest. That's what it means to be great. Are we a great church? Well, if we're servants, we're great. If we're servants, we're great. God's the one that's going to make that judgment one day. We're going to stand before him. Yeah, if we're serving the lost, we're great. You know, next week we're going to have a box in the lobby or a basket or something in the lobby, because we've got people in the church that have a heart for people that are homeless, less fortunate, and they've got an avenue, doors have opened up, they have an opportunity to help these people with some items, and next week we might send it to you, email, tell you what kind of items. I know, like toothpaste and toothbrushes and deodorant and different products, shampoo and washcloths, things like that. And then every Sunday, there's going to be some people that take the stuff from that basket and put it right into the hands of people that have need and use it as an opportunity to pray with people, talk with people. We have to be reaching out to the lost. We're a great church if we're serving the lost, if we're serving the body, if we're serving each other, if we're serving the gospel, if we're serving Christ, then we're a great church. One day we'll know. One day we'll know if we're a great church. One day you will know if you were a great person. It doesn't matter what people say. You should have a conviction in your heart from the Holy Spirit. But one day we want to hear these words from Jesus we'll look at in a minute. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Let's just keep on serving, laying up treasure in heaven. And Romans 2:29 says this, but he is a Jew who is one outwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. It's talking about true Christianity. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says it, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. And in the past 15 years, we've prayed for over 1,800 people to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I have no idea how many people have been healed, physically healed. We don't have a count on how many marriages have been helped, how many fears have been put away in people's lives, how many wounds in people's hearts have been healed, how many broken relationships have been repaired, or how many hopes have been restored. What's the future of Victory Church? I'll tell you what it is. More ministry, more serving, more giving, more small groups. That's my desire. More small groups and more people in small groups, because ministry takes place through relationships. That's our goal. We want more people stepping out, starting a small group. You say, well, I don't know about that. That's what Peter said two semesters ago. He said, I don't know. And Pastor Mike just encouraged him, just try it. He said, I don't think anybody will come. He had the biggest small group we've ever had. And two people got saved, and one of them's right here today. Roosevelt gave his heart to the Lord by coming through a small group and his life being changed through relationships. That maybe wasn't his first step to come to church, but it was a personal invitation to do something. We want small groups to grow. We want more people. We want more dream teams, more people in dream teams, serving, coming early, staying late, serving the mission of the church. That's our future. Is more small groups, more dream teams, more ministries, more mission trips. Thank God for the people that it's two mission trips now to Haiti from our church, and they're going to be going probably about every 6 months. More mission trips, more people going through growth track and discovering their unique calling, more people coming to our Sunday services, more salvations, more healings, more baptisms. Last month we baptized 6 people. God getting more glory. How many are yet to be helped? I have no idea. It depends on us. It depends on our heart to serve. God knows, and we'll all get the reward because we are all the church. We're all, this last fill in the blank, I think it is, we're all ministers. Yeah, we're all ministers. Ministers are servants. We're all healers. There's not one or two people that are healers. We're all healers because it's Jesus in us that's doing the healing. We're all servants. We're all doing our part. Let's just keep on being faithful the next 15 years. Let's keep on being faithful until he comes and he says these words in Matthew 25 that I was talking to you about before, Matthew 25:21. This is what you want to hear. This is the only words that really matter in your existence. Thank God for parents that love us and encourage us and friends. It's great when people encourage you, right? But you know what? Really, in comparison, you could be doing the wrong thing and somebody's telling you you're okay. What really matters is what God says. And this is what we all want to hear right here. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, those are the only words that really matter. Well done, good and faithful servant. Servant, see that? If we're great, we're servants. Every one of us. If I'm great, it's because I'm a servant. If you're great, it's because you're servant. Well done. Good and faithful. It doesn't say good and faithful, big shot. Good and faithful, you did a lot of great things. You know, Billy, they asked Billy Graham, you know, about, you know, what do you think when you get to heaven? He said, you know what I think? He said, I think when I get to, you know, they said, you won so many people to the Lord. You've led so many people to Christ. He said, I believe this with all my heart. I said, I believe that when I get to heaven and the rewards are passed out, there's going to be little old ladies who get bigger rewards than me because they were at home on their knees praying for my services. And that's why people got saved. You can't judge by the outside, you know, big names. No, that's not God's book. Well done, good and faithful servant. God knows if we're a servant and we have a servant's heart. You were faithful over a few things. That's all he's looking for. Faithful over what he's called you to do, what he's asked you to do. You were faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Who knows what eternity has for us? I don't know. But there's indications here that by our faithfulness on this earth, he will entrust other things to us in eternity. We have things to do in eternity. We're not just going to be sitting in rocking chairs, sitting around, you know, sipping iced tea. I don't know. There's going to be some challenges. Today we have a class, Growth Track, Essentials 201. If you've never been through it, that's your next step. We want everybody to go through the Growth Track. And today is Essentials 201, the essentials of the Christian faith. It's going to be free, and we're going to give you lunch, and it's going to be right here in this room. What's your next step? Maybe you need to start a small group. What's your next step to be a servant, to hear well done and good faithful servant? Are you advancing toward that goal? Are you making decisions in your life? What are you doing so that you hear? Because everyone in this room is going to stand before God. You can't avoid it. Everybody is going to stand before God and give an account of their life. And we don't want to hear about all the things we did wrong. That means our sins weren't forgiven. And we don't want to hear about all the things we could have done and should have done because that's what we were called to do. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, that's it. Enter into the joy of your master. Maybe you need to start a small group in the fall. Maybe you need to get on a dream team because you're not on a dream team. Maybe you need to go through Growth Track. Maybe you need to surrender to God for the first time. Maybe you've been resisting the move of God and standing back criticizing what everybody else is doing instead of getting involved and being part of the solution instead of part of the problem. Let's just pray right now and ask God, what's my next step? What's our church's next step in the next 15 years? What are we going to do? I've told you what we're going to do. What's your next step? What are you going to do the next 15 years, the next 10 years, the next 5 years, the next week? What are you going to do to be sure that you hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master? Lord, we just pray, help us to be a great church. We want to be a great church. And what does that mean? It means we're going to be great servants, serving our community, serving the lost, serving the homeless, serving the rich and the poor and the young and the old and whoever comes across our path. Lord, help us to be a great church and help us to be great individuals, great people, those that you say in that day, well done. We just pray right now, what is my next step, Lord? What do you want me to do? How do I keep walking with you? The Christian life is the Christian walk. How do I keep walking with you? Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe God's speaking something to you right now, every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe God's telling you to take a step of faith, to get out of your comfort zone, to start doing something, to start a small group, to serve in some way, or to surrender your life to Christ. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you're not sure of that, that's why you're here today. And I want to lead you in a prayer in just a few moments. If you're here today and you're not sure, but if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Or you want to take a new step with God. You want to step out with God. But today's every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But just as a step of faith and as a turning point in your life, today's a new day. You want to know God for the first time, or you want to start doing something that you haven't been doing. Just slip up your hand real quick and just say, you know, yeah, God's speaking to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. It's a new day. It's a fresh day. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven. Or you want to take a fresh start and you want to step out. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.